Scott Petrick of the Chronicle Telegram and BrownZone.com joining us in the middle of the bye week is now over. Back to work. Upcoming the Saints, but let's kind of look back at this bye week where we had the press conference with Andrew Berry. Scott, what did you expect to get out of it, and what did we get out of that?
Yeah, you know, I was hoping it would be a little bit more. I'm not sure I expected any more than we got. But when Andrew Berry started with, we're not going to reflect on past moves and we're not going to talk about the roster beyond 2024, you knew the information you're going to get was limited and the answers you were going to get were going to be limited. So I didn't find it extremely productive at all. I thought there were a couple tidbits here and there. But, you know, we need, or I would prefer at least, a lot more insight into what went wrong with Deshaun Watson, what the future holds for Deshaun Watson. You know, I did ask, and he got asked separately about, you know, can you rebuild this roster with the huge salary cap hit that Deshaun Watson's going to have for 2025 and 2026? And he said, yes, we'll have the resources to build this roster. We didn't get any details into that. And, you know, I trust him. Like, I think I don't think he's lying, and I think there are ways to manipulate the roster and manipulate the salary cap, but it would help, I think, for me and for fans to know exactly what they can do, exactly how hamstrung they will be by that salary cap number, and he was not willing to go there.
Is he a typical GM? I mean, in bye weeks of other teams, do they get pretty much the non-answers, or is it just this sort of temperament of this team that we see even with the coach?
You know, that's a good question. I don't think they all vary, the coaches and GMs. You know, Kevin Stefanski does not give good answers most of the time. And I would say that I know that there's plenty of coaches that do give good answers week in and week out. So I think it's, I don't know if it's a personality thing and or an organizational decision just not to give a lot. I would go it's more personality. That's just who those two guys are. And they're really disciplined, so if you ask him the same question four times, you're going to get pretty much the same answer four times, where some coaches and some GMs in the league get frustrated or they get worn down or they really want to give the true answer, so eventually they do. And we've seen that here with a guy like Freddie Kitchens or John Dorsey when he was the GM. They're just more willing to speak the truth and give more insight. So, yeah, I think the Browns tandem is certainly on the low end of that across the league. And it just depends, you know, who those people are, what the personalities are.
Right. But contrary to that, they have so many questions that we need answers for, right? I mean, it's like they could start at any of those questions could give you, chapters of things that are going on. And I always like, it's Kevin Stefanski, I think, for the most part, because we see him, he always likes to preface everything by, I understand your question, Scott. In other words, he knows exactly what you want to answer, but I'm just about not to give you the answer. I mean, so it almost is like he's being polite about the whole thing, but you have to do your work and just, the follow-up and try to figure out what's the angle to get in for those questions. But, I guess we got what we got, and the only thing that kind of came out of this past week was basically the trade of Desaria Smith, right? I mean, that's pretty much the only move, really.
Yeah, they traded him. They cut defensive tackle Quentin Jefferson, who he'd been a healthy scratch for a while. They thought Quentin Jefferson was going to be a big boost to the interior pass rush. He had six sacks last year with the Jets, and they signed him to a one-year, $4 million deal. But they just have a lot of depth there, and he wound up being down the depth chart and wasn't getting playing time. So I don't know if he has to be released or they just decided, hey, see if this guy can go find somewhere else where he can play. I think he reportedly wound up in Buffalo. I don't know if that became official or not. And then the Zadarius trade, you could see that coming. I talked to him weeks earlier about the possibility of going to Detroit just because Detroit needed an edge rusher, and they lost Aiden Hutchinson, who was leading the league in sacks, maybe their best player. And they're a really good team. They saw it. They came back on Sunday night to win. They're 8-1 now. Zadarius Smith did not play Sunday night, but he's on the sideline as a cheerleader. He's going to help them. He's a proven guy. He's a three-time Pro Bowler. He had five sacks here in the first, eight games. He didn't have one the last game. So I think he's going to help them. He's been in that division before and wanted to go back and play his former teams, the Packers and the Vikings. So it made sense. I'm I think fans are probably hoping the Browns would get more than a couple. They got a fifth and sixth round pick. I'm sure the hope was that they would get more than that. But that's kind of what the market was. So that with all these moves or non-moves, it's, okay, is it worth giving up this talented player for this low draft pick or whatever that draft pick's going to be? And with Smith, the Browns decided to do it. With anybody else, it might have been an option. They decided not to.
All right, we are past the bye week now, getting ready for the New Orleans Saints, who they had a coaching change, and they got that coaching boost, right? You fire a coach, get a new guy, and you'll get a win. At least that's somewhat, sometimes guaranteed, or it seems that way.
Yeah, you never know. Sometimes it goes that way. Plenty of times it does. You just get that new energy, and they did. They had the quick turnaround, and they came back after firing Dennis Allen. They lost seven in a row, and they come out and, you know, beat a decent Falcons team. I would say the Falcons are probably the favorite to win the NFC South, but the Saints beat them. So, yeah, it just shows you that there aren't any gimmies on this Browns schedule, because that might have looked like the easiest game the Browns had left. I know it's in New Orleans. That's not an easy place to play. Then New Orleans comes out and gets a win. Yesterday, the opening line I saw was New Orleans favored by 2.5. So, yeah, I'm not sure it gets a lot easier. I know it doesn't get a lot easier for the Browns in the second half of the season. They got a lot of problems to solve and a tough schedule to solve it. And this is probably their easiest game coming out of the bye week.
Still the same coaching play calling situation with Dorsey and everything. I mean, what do we see moving forward? What, yeah. Anything different or just like more of the same and hope, fingers crossed?
Yeah, that's a good question. Kevin Stefanski said that the move was for the rest of the season. I don't think he's going to be going back and forth on the play caller. Said the same thing about quarterback. We'll have to wait and see if eventually they go to Dorian Thompson-Robinson just to see what he has, you know, who he is as a quarterback, what he has, can he possibly be the future, where does he fit in this team's long-term plans. They're not ready to go there. I don't know if they will go there at all. They're talking about playing the guy that gives them the best chance to win, and I certainly believe right now it is Jameis Winston that gives them the best chance to win at quarterback, and they would say the same thing. So maybe that changes if Winston struggles for a couple more weeks, or with the month and a half left in the season, they're completely out of it, and Winston's just playing average, and then why not make the move? But right now they're going to try to win with what they have and with what they've been using, and hope that the bye week allowed them to make some maybe subtle, maybe key changes to the operation, to the lineup. I mean, Kevin Stefanski didn't expect any major changes. They already made the move at left tackle. So I think it's just a matter of guys playing better. Can they play better? Can they try to make the right play calls, you know, improve that area a little bit? And, you know, we saw 2 weeks ago, everything looked good against the Ravens, and then the following week against the Chargers, it didn't. So they're going to try to solve these problems from within and see if that works.
Do we expect to see more Nick Chubb and more of an impact of him in the games, or is it still a slow progress with him getting back?
Well, here's where I think they've gotten with Nick Chubb. He's played more each game, and he's had more of a workload. Now you have to see if he can become the same player again. And I don't know if we talked about it after week two. I thought, okay, he looked a lot better than he did in week one, I thought. And then the third game, I didn't think he looked as good. And I thought there were maybe holes that he didn't hit and a burst that he didn't have. And I think it's still fair to question whether Nick Chubb can be the same player that he was before the second devastating left knee injury. So I think that's one thing we're going to find out over these next few weeks is, can Nick Chubb be that same player? So I think he's going to get every opportunity to show it. I just don't know if anybody knows if physically he can be the same player.
Those other teams in the AFC North, this past weekend, you see all the games that they play, and we still have a lot of those games left with those teams, so
yeah.
It's a tough road for us ahead, for sure.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, the Browns also play Kansas City. You know, they got Pittsburgh twice, and saw Pittsburgh beat a good Washington team yesterday, and they just figure out a way to win, because not everything's perfect. There's mistakes. They had a fake punt. And the guy dropped a wide open pass and leads to a Washington touchdown. Yet they figure out a way to win. They just figure out a way to win. And they've been doing it. They have seven wins now. Browns see them twice. They finish the season at Baltimore. They go down to Cincinnati. So it's three of the four division games are on the road. It's a tough slate ahead. And you know, I'm assuming the Browns aren't going to make the playoffs. They probably have to go undefeated the rest of the way to make the playoffs. Maybe they can afford one win or one loss, maybe. But that doesn't mean they won't have a say in the division because they're going to play a lot of those teams.
Is your Saturday going to be spent watching the Wildcats, Northwestern?
You know what? That's a great question. It's going to be part of it. I got a wedding.
Oh, no.
I'm supposed to go see my sister's boyfriend's kid play college football. So, I don't know, I'm going to have to do some good planning on Saturday.
Well, we have those mobile devices where you can sort of, like, keep it in your pocket and just kind of watch it, just as long as you don't explode with excitement or
yeah,
you
know, right.
Right. Keep your emotions in check during that. All right, Scott, we appreciate your time. We'll talk again next week after the New Orleans game. Thanks.
All right, thanks.
Scott Petrick of the Chronicle-Telegram with BrownZone.com and the Chronicle-Telegram is brought to you on WEOL by Jamelis Wilson, Merrill & Fritz Company, Attorneys at Law, and by Rural Business Equipment. I'm Bruce Van Dyke on WEOL.